From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Well, it's good to be back behind the microphone. My thanks to Russ Jones for filling in last week while I was in the Middle East. I may talk more about that trip a little later. But first, tomorrow, what is tomorrow? It's Election Day. What's at stake? Well, we'll talk about that with House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Also on Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear a case about whether a nearly 100-year-old cross-shaped war memorial that's located in Bladensburg, Maryland, right outside of Washington, whether or not that cross, that memorial, violates the Constitution's Establishment Clause. Now, this is a case that could have implications for monuments nationwide, including in the National Cemetery. Congressman Scalise led a congressional effort urging the court to take up the case. He joins us in just a moment. And speaking of Election Day, blue wave or red wave? What's your choice? Well, Scott Rasmussen is here with the answer. It actually might surprise you. Also, last night was the Event 2018 outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado, that I was privileged to host. It was a call to Christians to pray for, vote for, and stand for a strong America. Governor Mike Huckabee was one of our speakers, as was Bishop E.W. Jackson and several others. And we'll hear from some of them a little bit later here on Washington Watch. We'll also get an update from the Values Bus. It's still rolling. And we're going to talk to Krista Johnson out there on the bus. And we'll take your phone calls on this question. All right. Let me give you time to think about it. What is the top issue that will determine how you will cast your vote? Or maybe you've already voted. So what was it that really determined how you were going to vote? What is the issue that rises to the top? We'll talk about it a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, the approximately 40-foot-tall cross at the center of the case in Bladensburg, Maryland. It's sometimes referred to as the Bladensburg Cross, the Peace Cross. It's a World War I monument. It's about 5 miles from where the Supreme Court is. With us now is Congressman Steve Scalise. He serves as the House Majority Whip at the third highest position in the House Republican leadership. He represents the 1st Congressional District of my home state of Louisiana. And he led an effort to get his colleagues to petition the court to take up this case. Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always great to be back with you.
I know you were excited because we actually talked about this or communicated about this on Friday. I know you were leading the effort on Capitol Hill with your colleagues to get the court to take up this case, and they passed on it several times, but then announced on Friday they were taking up. Big decision, isn't it?
This is such an important case, and you know, you were at the forefront of it as well and recognizing that if they take down Bladensburg, they're going after Arlington. They're going after every marker on public lands that has some kind of religious symbol. And, you know, whether it's the cross or Star of David, this is how people want to be remembered in their death, especially if they sacrifice their lives for our country. You know, the thought that a court decision could take that ability away, it was literally in the balance. I'm so glad that Justice Kavanaugh is on the bench now and will be able to participate in this case along with Neil Gorsuch, because it means President Trump will definitely have a lasting implant on this decision, and hopefully it's the right decision.
You know, Steve, when you look at this case, this is a cross that has been in place for nearly 100 years, and no one ever thought that it was unconstitutional, that somehow it violated the Establishment Clause or, you know, what some wrongfully describe as the separation of church and state. I mean, this is really the product of an activist court. We've seen this over the last 6 decades where things that no one ever thought anything of all of a sudden have been pushed out of our public life.
Yeah, and this is really the heart of religious freedom attacks. You know, you've been one to call it out on so many fronts for years now, and people say, you know, okay, I hear that my religious freedom is under attack, but there's a constitutional protection that I can exercise freely. Well, here's a classic example where the current court position, the federal courts below the Supreme Court, the current position is that this cross needs to be taken down, which is a ludicrous decision. Anybody that looks at it would say, how could a court and, you know, unelected judges say that you can't have a way to recognize the men and women who died for this country? And this was during World War One. This is something that's been there, like you said, for over 100 years. It's not been an issue, or nearly 100 years. And all of a sudden, the court is going to come and take away our religious freedom one more time, and we're on the defensive. We need the Supreme Court to reverse that decision if we're going to be able to keep these markers up, including at Arlington National Cemetery.
Congressman Steve Scalise, let me ask you this question. When you look at this case and the fact that Congress had to petition the court to take it up to save this monument, and as you pointed out, theoretically, you know, once a case like this is decided, someone will come and challenge the crosses at Arlington. They'll challenge every memorial that's out there. Does this not bring back front and center why the courts are so important and therefore why elections are so important?
It really is. I mean, you look 2 years ago, and that Scalia opening on the court, when that great idol of the Supreme Court, I mean, when Antonin Scalia passed away, people recognized just what was at stake in the election if they weren't already sure, because Donald Trump said, I've got a list of people that will be constitutionalists that I will go look at to pull to decide who's going to replace Antonin Scalia. Hillary Clinton, we all knew what her pick was going to be like. And there were multiple cases that were 4-4 cases before the Supreme Court. They shouldn't be 5-4 decisions. Our Second Amendment rights, literally a few years ago, were decided by a 5-4 decision. Luckily, it was in our favor. But again, court, if elections go the other way 2 years ago, we're losing a lot of these cases. In fact, Bladensburg would be a classic example of a case that we would have a high propensity to lose by a 5-4 decision. That's how important these elections are.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. It's great to be back behind the microphone. My guest, Congressman Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip, Congressman from the 1st District of Louisiana. Speaking of elections, Steve, I know you've been out crisscrossing the country. We had a big event in Colorado last night that was simulcasted into churches and homes across America. There's a lot at stake in this election.
There's a tremendous amount at stake. If you like the direction of the country right now, you like the fact that we're finally getting our economy moving, that we're finally rebuilding our national defense, and we're literally one vote away in the Senate from lowering health care premiums, putting people back in charge of their health care decisions, block granting Medicaid to the states so you could have actually better health outcomes for low-income people at a much, much lower cost. That's all at stake tomorrow in these elections, because Nancy Pelosi's raising record amounts of money. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars coming in from the left, very far left people, Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, putting in $100 million, not just to flip the House, but to impeach Donald Trump. That's the direction they want to take the House, and they're just a few votes away. There's maybe 20 seats that will decide which way the House goes, Republican or Democrat, Nancy Pelosi is Speaker or not, all coming up tomorrow. If everybody doesn't get out to vote, that's what could happen.
You know, the media has been, you know, continually talking about this blue wave. I'm going to have Scott Rasmussen on a little bit later. He suggested that might not be the case, that it actually may be a silent red wave that's out there, because it, just like 2016, conservatives feel so embattled by, you know, the pollsters and the media and the culture that they don't always reveal how they're going to vote.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of similarities to 2016, and I've been in a lot of swing districts over these last few weeks. Just last week, I touched 8 different districts. The last one, Friday night, that I visited was Andy Barr in Kentucky. And there's probably $15 million being spent in that one House seat. The woman that's running against Andy Barr, Amy McGrath, is bragging that she'll be the most leftist progressive liberal member of Congress to serve from the state of Kentucky. That's not the values that the people of Kentucky, I don't think, stand for, but yet she's got over $10 million backing her up. So I think in the end, and I saw, by the way, a lot of enthusiasm. We had an event in a barn, I mean, a very big barn. So what you could say, I truly was barnstorming last week, but it was packed. It was packed with really, really enthusiastic people that know what's at stake. I mean, they saw the Kavanaugh hearings. They saw how hungry the left is for power at any cost. And that's not where most people are in this country.
The enthusiasm level, I mean, I've seen it. I mean, the event we had last night in Colorado Springs, which was piped into churches across the country, the enthusiasm is unparalleled from what I see. I mean, there is a lot of enthusiasm out there. People seem to understand what's at stake. They seem to be grateful for the direction the nation is finally going, restoring religious freedom. You know, as you mentioned, the economy is good. I don't see conservatives sitting on their hands. I see them engaged.
I agree. And make no mistake, the left is engaged as well, but they always were. And history, by the way, is not on our side. I mean, if you look historically, the party in power in the first midterm of a president, no matter what party they're from, their party loses on average up to 30 seats. If that happened, Nancy Pelosi would be speaker. I think we defy the gravity of history because the economy is doing so much better. Usually the economy is doing poorly. Under Barack Obama for 8 years, it was surely doing poorly. It's finally doing well, and I don't think people are going to want to sit on the sidelines and not only lose the momentum of this economic success, but also knowing that Nancy Pelosi's agenda is to take away your tax cuts, to get rid of those ICE borders. They want to abolish ICE, border agents that are keeping our interior safe, and then ultimately they want to impeach Donald Trump. And I don't think the Trump voters are going to sit on the sidelines. It's why you see President Trump and Vice President Pence all around the country. Even till today, the president was in Missouri today. So we're seeing the president very engaged in this race as well.
Well, as I've said many times, our republic is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us to participate. Steve Scalise, as always, great to have you on. Look forward to talking with you after tomorrow.
Always great to be with you. Make sure everybody goes and votes tomorrow. Thanks, Tony.
Absolutely. Congressman Steve Scalise, the majority whip. By the way, here at the Family Research Council, Washington Watch, we don't oppose or support candidates. We just call them like we see them as we talk about the issues out there. And there's a clear distinction between the parties. You look at the party platforms, could not be clearer. Look, here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter what the polls are saying. Doesn't matter what, you know, the media is saying. That shouldn't influence how you vote. You should go and vote regardless. If you were the only person voting, you should go vote. And vote your biblical values. Vote for the person who most clearly aligns with what you believe. All right, when we come back, I got some clips from last night's event, the event 2018 outside of Colorado Springs. We're going to share some of that with you when we come back. Governor Huckabee was one of our speakers. You'll hear from him. Don't go away. More Washington Watch right after this.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at TheEvent2018.com. Again, visit TheEvent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join LaWanna and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. It is actually, it's good to be back in the chair here behind the microphone in D.C. I do thank Russ for filling in for me last week, but I missed being on the radio. Great series of meetings over in the United Arab Emirates. I shared a little bit last week from there with Russ, and I might work some more of that in later this week. It's just there's a window of opportunity. As I've actually got more invitations and trips abroad than I can even get to. International leaders, world leaders, wanting to meet with evangelical leaders because of the emphasis that this administration has placed on religious freedom, and that was the focus of a lot of our discussions there. And anyway. This is a byproduct of elections, and there's a window here of opportunity for us to advance values, these traditional values here in this country, restore religious freedom here in this country, and spread religious freedom, the choice for every man, woman, and child to have the choice to choose to follow God or not. I believe that's biblical. And that's the opportunity we've been given with administration that's put a priority on that, both here at home, as I said, and abroad. And that was really a big focus last night as we gathered in Colorado. We were in Woodland Park, which is 45 minutes from Colorado Springs. It was at the Karis Bible College, Andrew Womack, who is the president of that, CEO, a great facility, great host. They were just wonderful there last night. And we simulcast. I don't know, maybe you saw it. If you did, I'd be interested to hear from you later when we open up the phone lines. But also, if you didn't, you can still see it. 90 minutes, rich in content. We had Governor Mike Huckabee was there, E.W. Jackson, Bishop E.W. Jackson, Kristen Hawkins, Students for Life, Mike Ferris with Alliance Defending Freedom, Richard Harris, who is with Karis Bible College, of course, and Andrew Womack was there. It was just, again, rich in content. Governor Mike Huckabee was at his best last night. Here's a clip of what Governor Huckabee had to say. Let's play clip number two of Governor Huckabee.
The only thing worse than having dead people regularly vote is we have living people who fail to vote. There's something wrong when we just say it doesn't matter. You see, it does matter. And for those who say, well, what does this have to do with me being a Christian? You don't give up one of your duties and responsibilities as a citizen of heaven in order to be a citizen on earth. God expects for you to participate, obviously, in the kingdom. You're going to live there forever. You're going to be preparing your life for that life. But you're not excused from this one. If you were, the moment you trusted Christ, pop, off you would go to heaven. Why has he left us here? Because he left us here to be the salt and the light.
And that was a very, very prominent message last night, that as Christians, we have, first, as Americans, we have a right to vote. As an American, if you're of age and you are, you know, not a convicted felon, you have a right to vote. But as a Christian, I believe you have a responsibility to vote. It's what it render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. And the part about being salt and light that the governor just touched upon. And you look at what's happened with the policies that have been enacted since 2016 as a result of that election, the work that is yet to be done. And in fact, Kristen Hawkins, who is the president's spokeswoman for Students for Life, spoke to that. Here's what Kristen had to say. Let's play clip one of Kristen Hawkins.
Our work isn't done. This year, the U.S. Senate failed to pass the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. The ban that would have stopped abortions at 20 weeks when children can feel pain. It was self-professed Christians, who voted against their faith, who voted against 70% of Americans. And we know those who advocate for abortion, they know exactly what it is they're fighting for, men and women. We saw them in front of the Supreme Court just weeks ago, clawing, chanting, and cursing in front of the Supreme Court. I've seen them on college campuses when the bomb-sniffing dogs have to come into the room before I'm allowed to speak. They know what it is they're fighting for. The question I pose to you today is, do you know what it is you're fighting for? Do you know who it is you are fighting with? Who you are fighting with? I haven't forgotten. As Christians, we have been called to end injustice in our world, called to spread his love, his truth, his hope. And that means praying. That means voting, and that means standing. This Tuesday, I'm going to vote pro-life first, and I pray you do too.
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, just the crowd was fantastic, enthusiastic, and of course, one of the speakers that led us off, that got everyone on their feet, was Bishop E.W. Jackson. Let's play that clip.
And so, my brothers and sisters, we have come to a momentous moment, as Bonhoeffer reminded us, that unless the church wakes up, unless the church stands up, unless the church takes its place, no society can survive. America cannot survive without us. And so I ask you to take this pledge, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. If we have to be the last people, we Christians, standing up for that flag, that we will do it, and we will do it across all racial and cultural and denominational lines. We will stand for that Constitution. We will stand for that flag. We will stand for this nation, because we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? Because we know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've read the back of the book, and we win.
More.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you missed last night's event, the event 2018, again, 90 minutes of rich, strong content, encouraging. In fact, I think it's going to air tomorrow morning on a couple of Christian television networks. But you can still see it online. I think later, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. I think we've got a link to the whole program there. As I was talking about it with Congressman Steve Scalise, you know, we've heard all of this for months now, blue wave, blue wave, blue wave. But is another silent red wave coming, something similar to 2016? Well, my next guest says that's a possibility. Joining us now is Scott Rasmussen, who is with ScottRasmussen.com. He's the editor-at-large there and is a veteran pollster, and he's raising the possibility that it could be a silent red wave. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be with you. And, you know, I think what people are ignoring sometimes, or perhaps just don't focus on in these House races, is how many are so very close. You know, the way I look at the race at the moment in the House, there's about a dozen seats that I think the Democrats have already picked up or are very likely to pick up. So they need 11 more to get a majority, and there's 33 highly competitive races. They need to win 11 of those 33. You'd say the odds are in their favor, but if the turnout shifts just a little bit, if the Republican turnout is a little bit higher than expected, well, then the Republicans could keep it. But I've got to also say, if the turnout goes the other way just a point or two, the Democrats could actually have a pretty good night.
So some of these races are going to be very, very close, where it literally could come down to where a handful of votes could make the difference.
Right.
And that's, should be motivation for everybody to get out and vote.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're at the point we can talk about these races. I tell people the polls at this time should be thought of like the hurricane maps. You know, you have all these different models.
Right.
And If I'm living at the shore and one hurricane model says the hurricane's going to hit a few miles north of me and the other one a few miles south, well, I'm not going to argue about which one's right. I'm going to get ready for the hurricane. And that's what we should be doing with voting right now. It is important to get out and vote because, again, very small changes in turnout could have very big impacts in terms of who's in Congress next year.
I found your generic congressional ballot, your most recent, that the Democrats have a 3-point lead, and there's a margin of error of plus or minus two. So, I mean, that is razor thin.
Well, actually, just to be clear, Tony, that was my old company. I'm not there anymore. My numbers are a little more in line with where the averages are. You know, most polls right now are showing about a 7 or 8 point lead for the Democrats. And the way those numbers work out, if the Republicans can hold the Democratic popular vote advantage to about 5 points, they have a pretty good chance of hanging on to the House because the Democrats need to gain 23 seats. If the margin is 7 or 8, then I think you're looking at the Democrats having control. And obviously, if it slips a little higher, Democrats might win 40 or 45 seats. I think right now the most likely outcome is a modest Democratic majority. And I think all this talk of a blue wave misses the fact that that would be a pretty average midterm. Nothing really spectacular about it.
Sorry, Scott, I was looking at the wrong numbers there. You're right. That was from your old company. Let's talk about the enthusiasm level surrounding the president, which is, you know, people missed that last time. It still seems to be over the top. When you see the crowds that he draws, the people waiting in line, there is a lot of enthusiasm out there. Is that being factored into these polls?
Don't know. You know, when we ask about things, we find, for example, 52% of Democrats say this is the most important election of their lifetime. Only about 28% of Republicans say the same thing. So there is a gap there in terms of the perception of the stakes. We know that there are differences in the traditional ways that we measure things. So it's very difficult to tell who's, especially in a midterm election, who is going to get out and vote. This president has a very strong impact both on his base and on his opponents in terms of energizing them and making the conversation about him. I think what you're going to see is in Republican-leaning states – that you're going to perhaps see better than expected performance among Republicans. But the reverse may be true in some more Democratic areas.
Very quickly, Scott, run out of time. Any bellwether races, anything we should be watching tomorrow night that might be indicators?
Look, the Senate races to watch start with Indiana, and it's one of the very first states to have the polls closed. If you're watching Indiana and race is not called one way or the other, if it stretches on into the evening and they're still saying it's too close to call, then you know all the polling and the markets were pretty well where they expected to be. If you see one candidate or the other declared a victor, that might be a trend that maybe their party's going to do better than expected.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that closely and then hope to talk with you later in the week. Scott Rasmussen,
look forward,
always great
Scott.
To talk with you. Thanks. All right. As we talked about, these races are razor thin. You need to make sure you are voting. All right? Make sure you're voting. All right. When we come back, we're going to get a quick update from the Values Bus Tour and then go to the phone lines to hear from you. What is the top issue that will determine how you will cast your vote? Give us a call, 866-372-7234, right here on Washington Watch.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbusttour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbusttour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women. From aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, if you were watching the event last night, you saw that we had the Values Bus from California. Pastor Jack Hibbs was a part of last night's simulcast. We've got other buses. We've got a bus that's been making its way in about close to a dozen other states in these key battleground states. And one big race that we've been, working this state of Missouri, the Show Me State. Now, the bus is at Lee's Summit, Missouri, for a rally. Frontier Justice, the premier gun range in the area. And I think Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler is with the bus. But now joining us is Krista Johnson, manager of the FRC Action Bus Tour, or affectionately known as the Bus Captain. Krista, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be back with you.
Are you road weary?
We're just pressing on. I think we're ready for it to be over. But at the same time, there's 2 days left. So definitely pushing through, making sure that we're giving it our all these last couple of days, which are the most important as we head into elections tomorrow.
So the kind of the motto on the bus is pray, vote, and roll. Keep rolling, right?
That's right. Pray, vote, roll, or stand, and then keep rolling if we can.
All right. So give us a quick update of what's happening there in Missouri.
So yeah, as you mentioned, we're at the Frontier Justice rally tonight. We're going to be starting that here actually in just a few minutes, and we're excited to have Vicki Hartzler here with us speaking at that rally along with the owners here of Frontier Justice. We've had a great weekend with tons of rallies and different events, both with President Trump and Vice President Pence in the state of Missouri. So a lot of attention being given to this state. And then tomorrow we'll be heading into several polling sites and locations throughout the Kansas City area, as well as Springfield, Missouri, as we hand out voter guides promoting the values that Josh Hawley is standing for in order to beat Claire McCaskill at this race.
All right, so folks can, for the last minute schedule, they can go to valuesbustour.com, see where the bus is going to be, and connect with you there, especially at that event tonight at Frontier Justice, at Lee's Summit. All right, so make sure you all a bunch of straight shooters tonight, okay?
Yeah, I'll definitely make sure and do that.
All right. Tell Vicky we said hello.
Will do. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Keep up the good work out there. That's Krista Johnson with the Values Bus there in Missouri as we come down to the wire here for the election. All right. Phone lines are lit up, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get as many folks in as possible, so let's hit it quickly. What's the top issue in determining how you're going to cast your vote? Or maybe you've already voted, so what was that issue? 866-372-7234, and we're going to go first to Dana in Missouri. Dana, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. May God bless you, protect you, and give you wisdom. We appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would like to say everybody's so excited about Trump because all of us that were leery to vote for him are very excited to see what he's actually doing for our nation. But my top topic is always freedom of religion and right to life. The wall is important and all these other issues are so important, but the godly principles are number one in my book.
All right. Dana, thank you so much for listening and calling in. I would venture to say you're not alone in those top priorities. Let's go to Florence. Florence, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Good to talk to you. I've already voted, and the top issues is religion and getting rid of abortions.
All right. Well, that's just like Dana. The right to life, religious freedom, and Florence, you're right in line with what we've seen elsewhere in the surveys of Christian voters. Florence, thanks so much for listening and for calling in today. 866-372-7234. All right, thanks so much. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Similar to the first callers, I vote pro-life. Then national security second, and then jobs third. If you got to defend the unborn first, we got to defend our nation second. And then it'd be great if we have economy. That's just icing on the cake. A couple other quick points, if you don't mind. I would encourage everybody, all the Christian conservatives, to get out and vote. We got early voting in many states tonight. If you don't get out tonight, definitely get out tomorrow. In the future, please do not send your funds to the Republican establishment of Washington. They just cut off funding to a true conservative, Mr. King in Iowa, representative, cut off his funding. And I'm fairly confident we're going to keep the House. If we don't keep the House, I lay the blame at the feet of John Boehner and Paul Ryan, who they've had the House since 2010, gave Obama everything he wanted, fought Trump on everything, and didn't keep their promises with the voters. I hope we hold the House. If not, I lay it at their feet. God bless all you do.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And to Joe's, the issues that Joe laid out there, the life issue, then he talked about national security and the economy. I think it's a very important point because I would venture to say that many other listeners would say, yeah, well, if I had a chance to pick my third and fourth issue, it would be the economy. It would be national security. You see, this is a point I make very often, that conservative, evangelical, Christian, social conservative voters are much more complex than the media wants to give them credit for. You know, you remember the Washington Post story there, poorly educated and easily led. They're actually very astute voters. In fact, more so than most, because they care enough to find out what's going on, to think about it from a critical standpoint. But I've described it as kind of a Windows operating system, that we put everything through the filter of those top issues, life, the right to life. I made that point last night that in the preamble to the Declaration, when we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life comes first for a reason. It's fundamental. And religious freedom, that gives us the ability to pursue everything else. But those other issues matter to us as well. National security. Anyway, you know what I think. I want to know what you think. Let's go to John in Mississippi. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm good. You?
Oh, blessed. Welcome back, and thank you for everything that you do. I think one of the biggest problems we have now is because teenagers, 18-year-olds, are able to vote, we have to teach our children That's what happened to the children of Israel, the adults with Joshua. They didn't teach their children because this is only the tip of the iceberg, and we've got to stay vigilant until the Lord returns.
Yes, and we need to have these conversations. Great point, John. Thanks for bringing that up. We need to be having those conversations with our kids. I mean, we have those conversations around the dinner table. We talk about the elections. We talk about the issues. We talk about where the candidates stand on the issues. It's important. You don't just catch a biblical worldview. And I'm going to I had George Barna on a couple of weeks ago talking about his latest survey where only 7% of American adults have a biblical worldview. Now, when you look at born-again Christians, it's 23%, roughly one out of every four. That's better, but not good. How can you really follow Jesus if you don't follow what he says? And that's what a biblical worldview is. It's looking at the Bible as a guidebook for life. And we have to help our kids make that process. We have to help them understand, how do we apply these biblical principles? There's precepts. Those are those things that God commands. There are principles. Those are the things that we have to take the principles. We got to think through it. It's like the, you know, the immigration issue. That's a principle. It's not a precept. It's a principle about welcoming the stranger. But also, I made this point on CNN earlier today, that it also talks about how they're to live by our customs and laws. So it's the rule of law, and it's the assimilation. It's all a package. Those are principles. And then there's preferences. Those are the things that we can disagree on because we have different preferences. Anyway, 866-372-7234. I'll get it right. Let's go to Kim in Missouri. Kim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you so much to you and your staff. Your program is so uplifting and so encouraging, and it sure strengthens the body of Christ.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll pass that along.
Well, listen, the number one issue for me always is going to be my right to life. Public servants, which are elected officials, and I think it's important that we remember they are public servants. You know, Tony, if they don't believe in my fundamental right to life, then why in the world would they care about any other right that I have?
Very true. In fact, David Bart and I have had that conversation. If you know where someone stands on life, you are pretty much going to be able to determine where they stand on everything else. Because it's hard to get that one wrong and get the others right, to your
That's
point.
That's correct.
Kim, thanks so much
God
for
bless
calling.
You. Thank you.
Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Julie in Oklahoma. Julie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I emailed you guys. I am good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Well, this morning on my way in to work, not you personally, but the show was saying that the state charitable campaigns, you guys had a number. American Family Association had a number on that list. Mm-hmm. Well, I looked at our list today in Oklahoma, and you guys aren't on our list. I just wondered if the state of Oklahoma chose to keep you off the list, or whether you're not on the Oklahoma list.
Let me find out, Julie. I'll have Greg get your contact information. I'll find out. I don't know the answer to that. I can't imagine that Oklahoma,
okay,
the reddest state in the nation.
I know, right? I was so upset.
Yeah, it has to be an oversight given Oklahoma. But we'll check on it, Julie, and we'll let you know. All right, I think we got time for a couple more calls. Let's go to Nathan in Florida. Nathan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much. So I have a 100% voting record, voted for the first time on my 18th birthday, and I'm a young millennial who, like so many of the previous callers, my number one issue is life. If you cannot protect life from natural birth to natural death, then why am I supposed to trust you with my money? And after that, of course, religious liberty, freedom. Of course, freedom is a huge thing, because if we don't have freedom in business and religious freedom, then it's going to be hard to do much of anything. We'll be under tyranny. And, of course, freedom is a fundamental principle in America.
Nathan, let me ask you a question. That's great. In fact, you're in line with, I think, most Bible-believing, biblical worldview-driven Christians. But as a millennial, and by the way, I commend you on having a 100% voting record. I think I would encourage all Christians to, every time there's something on the ballot, we need to vote. Are you challenging some of your peers to engage and to vote?
Yeah, I definitely try to. Unfortunately, there's a lot of apathy that in my generation, sadly, because they don't necessarily see the point. They've seen a lot of the bad side of politics. But yeah, it's definitely important to encourage others, and I'm definitely very trying to encourage others as well. I've texted everyone on my list and that I knew pretty much, and try to encourage everyone to get out and vote.
All right. Well, keep up the good work, and thanks so much for listening and calling in. All right, let's go to Houston, Texas, where Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I always listen to your show on my drive home from College Station. We're in a rural county in Texas, and my wife and I have already voted. Of course, all of the Christian social issues are important to us. Personal liberty and individual freedom are very important. We don't understand, as I told Greg, why people would willingly surrender their freedom to an ever enlarging government. We think the government should be getting smaller and not larger. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for calling in, and point well made. I mean, and if we're going to stop the growth of government, it requires us being involved in voting and being informed when we vote. And by the way, if you need to know where the candidates stand on the issues, go to frcaction.org, and there's a link to the iVoter guide. And it's in some places we actually have the local races, the state races as well, not all cases, but some. So go to frcaction.org or the ivoterguide.com and be informed and be engaged. It's up to us. It's our responsibility. As I said earlier, as Americans, we have a right to vote, and it's a sacred right. You know, few people in the history of the world have had the freedom and the ability that you and I have as Americans. But as Christians, we have a responsibility, a duty to vote. Do your duty. Make sure you vote tomorrow. Vote your biblical values. All right, folks, out of time for today. But Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.